You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, it's time for a quick take. The Bucks and star wide receiver Mike Evans reached an agreement on a two-year, $52 million deal that includes $35 million guaranteed, his agent told our Adam Schefter. Shannon Sharp, your reaction to this deal?
I like this deal. Mike Evans deserves to finish his career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He gets great money, no state income tax. He had an unbelievable season this season. And I don't really think Mike Evans wanted to leave Tampa. He's built a home there. He's been great in the community. And he's very, very deserving. He's earned this $52 million contract extension. And so I'm happy he's staying in Tampa because he deserves to finish his career with the Buccaneers. He's a historically great player. And he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame based on his stats and what he's done in his first decade of playing in the National Football League.
All right, let's go over to the association in Boston. Jason Tatum had 27 points on his 26th birthday, while Jaylen Brown scored 29 points. As the NBA best, Boston Celtics posted their third largest winning margin in franchise history, demolishing the Golden State Warriors 140-88 on Sunday. Boston led by a franchise record 44 points at halftime and pushed it to 51 early in the third quarter. Jaylen, how did that one feel?
It feels great, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's always within humility. At any given point, you know, that could be us, and you know, we don't take the game for granted. We didn't come out and mess around, and that's just how, you know, we show our respect to the game, is that we handle business and take care of it, but we don't do it arrogantly. We do it with humility, and it's a lot of respect for the Golden State Warriors, but we feel like it's our time now.
You flush it down the toilet. We had a great road trip, 3-1. We've had a million games. So Boston was amazing. We weren't beating them today. So we head home and get ready for Wednesday.
This is now the Celtics' third win by 50 points this season, setting a new NBA record. The wins have been over the Nets, the Pacers, and now the Warriors last night. All three have come at home, where the Celtics are averaging an NBA best 15-point margin of victory. Tim Legler is now joining us. Tim, I'm going to start with you on this conversation. Do you think Boston is in a tier of their own?
Well, first, good morning, Christine, Stephen A., Shannon. Great to be on with you guys. The short answer to that question is no. They're not on a tier of their own, and it's really because of the Denver Nuggets. And they're the one team that I'm going to say right now I think is worthy of being in the ring with the Boston Celtics. Because Denver has a couple of things that you have to play against this particular team. And we saw some of that on display actually when they went into Boston earlier this year. And it was one of the best games of the year. It was physical. They let them play. It was a low-scoring game. And Denver went into Boston, a place where the Celtics on average are beating teams by 20, 25, 30 points every night, it seems like. They went in there a game 102 to 100 because they have some of the elements that it's going to take. Maybe the only team that's got all of the elements is going to take. And it starts with the fact that you have this special player, Nikola Jokic, that can control pace. He can control the action. There is no scheme for him. There's no personnel package you can throw at him. There's nothing you can do, really, to limit his impact. Because he's immovable physically. He's a guy that sees the floor unlike really anybody else in the league, I believe, right now. He could beat you as a scorer, passer, rebounder, whatever it takes, a defensive communicator as their anchor. So you've got this special one-off player. Denver has that player. The other thing they have is the core continuity amongst their starters. And look, I don't think Denver has treated the regular season, you know, with any sense of urgency necessarily. I think that they understand they won a championship. You can't really expect them to have the same edge in the regular season once you have accomplished that. But they're starting to get it together right now, and they're preparing themselves for this stretch run. They've got incredible continuity amongst those starters. So if there's one team that I think absolutely can go toe-to-toe with Boston right now, it's the Denver Nuggets. Having said that, what you saw last night, the buzzsaw that Boston can hit you with offensively, right, the floodgates, the way that they open them, particularly from the three-point line, is unlike any other team in the league. So it's going to take something special to be able to deal with the Boston Celtics, and I think Denver is probably that one team. And when it's all said and done, they might still end up with the one seed in the West. And I think that these two teams, in my mind, are on a collision course for the NBA Finals if they both stay healthy.
Yeah, I'm gonna go say Celtics are on a tier by themselves. But I think if they were to play, I think it's 4-3 either way, Boston or the Denver Nuggets. I'm not going to be surprised if they play as a seven-game series that the team that wins the series wins 4-3. But when I look at the Boston Celtics and I look at the way they're playing, and Kristaps Porzingis, who didn't play yesterday, and they still were able to beat you want to say they were undermanned, but still, in the first half, they weren't undermanned. Kristaps Porzingis, what he does, and I used the analogy earlier, Legs, is that he's like a couple of drops of water to my VSOP cognac, Shea by LaPortier. He opens it up. He allows Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown the freedom. He provides space because he can play with his back to the basket. He can step out beyond the three-point line, but there's a lot more space for those guys to slash and dive to the basket. Now, yesterday, Golden State decided to say, well, you know what? We're going to sag off of a guy that's a two-time All-Star, and he has the highest contract value in the National Basketball League, and that's Jaylen Brown, and he made him pay for that. But after watching the Denver Nuggets, and I watch them closely, what they beat people at, if it's a close ball game, they're going to get every shot they want in the final 4 or 5 minutes of the game. Because they're going to put you in that pick and roll with Jokic and Murray. And they go either dribble drive, dribble handoff. Jokic's going to roll or pop. And Murray can take you off the dribble. So he makes it very hard. And when you try to bring the double team, now Michael Porter Jr. is in the corner and he's wide open. He had a historic game. 10 made baskets. 5 made free throws. No misses on either. And no missed free throws. He's the first game to attempt that many field goals, that many three-pointers, and be perfect all the way across the board, 100%. So when you look at them, yes, in a seven-game series, I believe it's going to go 4-3. But I'm going to say I would take the Celtics right now as being a tier above them.
Well, listen, I think the Celtics right now are the best team in basketball, but I'm certainly not going to say they're on a tier of their own because they can be had by the reigning defending NBA champions. I completely agree with Tim Legler there. When you look at the Denver Nuggets, they've been in cruise control. And, you know, the scary part about them as a champion, Shannon, is that they've been lurking. Like, it's not like they struggled and there's some 500 teams and now they're making a run. No, right. They've been winning more than they've been losing all year long, and just lurking around and just letting everybody know, you know, we kind of know what it takes. We're the reigning defending NBA champions. Right. We'll turn on the afterburners when it's time. It's not time yet. And as the season wanes, we're seeing them handle their business. You should have seen how they toyed with the Lakers in the second half. Just toyed with them.
In the second half,
you know, we had D'Angelo Russell. You know, I had 13 points in the first half, looking really good. Had 4 points in the second half. You understand what I'm saying? We saw Anthony Davis playing all world throughout this season. Goes up against Jokic. Suddenly, it's 17 has to do when Jokic is dropping 35. I mean, we just see these kind of things. You understand? They didn't even have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They had a couple of dudes out there. You know, I saw Watson. I saw Holiday. I'm look at these brothers right here chipping in and stuff like that.
Well.
It doesn't matter. They're playing well. I'm saying you look at the Denver Nuggets, who, by the way, went into Boston this year and beat Boston. Boston's 1-3 against the top three teams in the Western Conference, in case you didn't know. Oklahoma City, Minnesota, and obviously the Denver Nuggets. They beat Minnesota once in overtime. But here's the deal. When they went up against OKC, despite Tatum and Porzingis dropping 30, both of them 30 and 34 respectively, wasn't enough because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander dropped 36. You see what I'm saying? You saw what Denver did to them when they went to Boston. Now they got to go to Denver later on this week. I'm just saying, when you look at Boston, as great and phenomenal as they are, and I've got them to win it. I picked them at the beginning of the season to win it. I cannot ignore the fact that the Denver Nuggets are lurking, and they're just waiting, and they're saying, excuse me, you got to come through us. And they went to Boston to send that message, and now they're going to be waiting in Denver to send that message again. It's getting interesting.
Yeah, Thursday night, we get to see that battle again, and I can't wait to see that. What's so impressive about Denver, to your point, Stephen, you look at the West, at the top of the West, Minnesota and Oklahoma City, right? These are two teams that have had their foot on the gas all year long because it's important to them to establish themselves night in, night out in the regular season and potentially, you know, get home court as many rounds as you can. And here's Denver just sort of going about their business. All of a sudden now they've won six straight after the break. Like they get into that mindset. After all is said and done and the smoke clears, despite the fact that they haven't really put as much urgency in the regular season, they still may end up with home court advantage throughout the entire Western Conference playoffs because they're a team that understands what they need to do in the moment against each opponent, and they've got this incredibly unique player that every night you can run everything through, and it doesn't matter what is thrown at him. You are not going to get him off balance. You're not going to let him see something he hasn't seen. You're not going to make him inefficient or ineffective. Jokic controls the pace, and against a team that shoots 11 more threes a night than Denver does and makes five more on night on average, that's very important to control the pace of the action. That's what Jokic can do against a team like Boston.
One thing I want to say real quick, Shannon, I mean, they split with Minnesota. Anthony Edwards dropped 38 on Boston in an overtime loss. Obviously, they won a game in overtime against Minnesota, lost to Denver, lost to Oklahoma City. The other thing I want to say is this. In those three games, in those four games they played against those top three teams in the Western Conference, three-point shooting hurt the Boston Celtics. It's been helping them throughout the vast majority of this season. But against those three teams, they found a way to neutralize Boston from the three-point spot, and that hurt them. So that's something to watch, too.
All right, I do want to mention the Celtics have outscored teams by 29.8 points per game over the last six games, which is the best points per game differential over six games in NBA history. In honor of Women's History Month, here is a trivia question. Who is the only woman to be officially drafted by an NBA team? We'll have the answer after the break.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day.
Here is your trivia question answer. The only woman ever officially drafted by an NBA team was Lucia Harris in 1977 by the New Orleans Jazz. She also made history in 1992 as the first black woman inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. All right, it's time for a quick dig. Stephen A., the Mavs, Lakers, and Warriors all suffered losses this weekend. Which loss was more troubling to you?
To me, it was the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, we've got guys like Tim Legler and others, rightfully so, I might add, really, really raving about what they've seen from the Dallas Mavericks, particularly with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic clicking and what have you, along with Derek Lively and the acquisition of Gaffey and others. They've got some size on them, etc. Maybe they can make some noise in the West. And then they go out and they lose to a 76ers squad without Joel Embiid. And I know it's just one game, it's the regular season, but You know, it's moments like that that gives you cause to pause and make you look at a team like the Dallas Mavericks and saying, how legitimate are they? We know that Luka Doncic can explode. We know that Kyrie Irving can explode. But if you can find a way to make things interesting, which should be easy for most teams, you know what? What's going to happen with them? Who can they really, really beat? Tobias Harris looked all world yesterday. I'm looking at stuff like that, and it just gave me cause to pause from the Mavericks in terms of what I saw. I expected better.
All right, let's keep it in the – wait, sorry, Shannon, go ahead.
What's the problem,
I'm trying
Shannon?
To figure out him, you and Park killed me the other day when I say the Mavericks are not going to do anything. Y'all beat me up. Y'all double-team me. Y'all jump me.
Right.
You and Big Park did that to me.
But I'm sorry. Wasn't that before they lost to the Sixers? Wasn't that before they lost? I mean, it wasn't like I said after. I'm just saying, without Embiid, it did make me say to Dallas, what's up with y'all? What's up with that? I mean, was the game too early on a Sunday afternoon or something? I did expect more. What's wrong with that?
Okay.
You know? Go ahead, Tim. Get it in.
Listen, no, I'm going to get in on this. Listen, because you're right. I have been high on Dallas since the acquisitions at the trade deadline, since they found the chemistry between Kyrie and Luke, and Kyrie has looked energized and into it, and he looks like, you know, he wants to be out there every night. Here's the problem. I'm just going to call him out. They don't play hard enough. They don't play hard enough. It's that simple. Wow. They do not lay it on the line defensively the way you have to be considered a legitimate contender. They have everything they need offensively every single night to go toe-to-toe with any team in this league because of the way that Luka controls the game as a scorer and passer and the supplemental offense they get out of Kyrie, and they got more than enough shooting. They got bouncy legs in the middle now. They've got everything you need offensively. They just gave up 127 points a game in the last five games. They don't compete on the defensive end of the floor to the extent that you need to, plain and simple. And if they don't, absolutely right, both of you. They could lose in the play-in. They could lose in the first-round series. If they can just leave a little more skin on the floor, they have an opportunity to truly challenge to get to the Western Conference Finals. If they do it. If they don't, they go home early, and it's just a bunch of gaudy numbers that guys are putting up every night that doesn't mean anything.
All right. Let's move on.
All right, let's talk about another team out there in the West that has a lot of questions, the Phoenix Suns. Stephen A., do you have reason to believe in Phoenix?
No. Why? First of all, I got to wonder about their health all the time. Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant have only played 23 games out of the 61. That's number one. I mean, I believe in them offensively. I know they're all world. They can score on anybody. So in that regard, I believe in them. But I got to tell you something right now. You know what, Shannon? You're watching games this week.
Yeah.
Maybe I watched the games this week and it just altered my thinking, because I know you're going to get on me about that, too. But listen, I'm going to tell y'all why I wanted to bring up this subject, because it's something that's very interesting that I couldn't wait to bring it to both of y'all, because I know how y'all are on subjects like this. We were arguing on NBA Countdown yesterday about Kevin Durant, who, by the way, since he arrived in Phoenix, is averaging 27 on 43% shooting from three-point range. And we know from a skill position how all-world Kevin Durant is, no question about it. But Bob Myers was talking about, you know, how expecting too much, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, yo, did you know this? Kevin Durant ain't been out of the second round since he left Golden State. It's Kevin Durant we talking about. That is not good. That is not good. Now, obviously, if Kyrie hadn't gotten hurt against Milwaukee, I thought they would have won it all. But it happened. But he has not been out of the second round since he departed from Golden State. And by the way, there's a sweep in the first round at the hands of Boston, not this Boston team, from a couple of years ago when he was in Brooklyn, that happened with him and Kyrie on the floor. So we got to pay attention to that. And what I was saying, guys, yesterday was this. At some point in time when we talk about leadership, because leadership became a part of the discussion, and Shannon and you and I talked about this last week with Kevin Durant, what I said to Bob Myers was, when you go to the negotiating table, do you just sit up there and say, I'm going to put up numbers, but we're going to lose or whatever? Or do you say, I'm a difference maker? Because he was talking about how people lead in different ways. And I said, it'd be one thing if you never won. But when you have won, because this is a two-time champion we're talking about in Kevin Durant and a two-time NBA Finals MVP, that means you know what it takes. That means you've been surrounded in an environment where you saw what it would take in order to capture it. Isn't something a little extra, if necessary, required of you to do that you extend beyond yourself if the chip is that important? That was the kind of discussion that we were engaging in. And I was saying that's what the Suns appear to be lacking. And if somebody doesn't step up and step out of themselves to give you a little something extra than what we're accustomed to seeing from them, they're not going anywhere. That's where I was standing on it. I wanted to know how y'all felt about that because that's how I feel about the Suns. Go ahead, Shannon.
I ain't going to beat you up because we had this conversation. Me, you, and Perk had the conversation last week. And y'all beat me over the head. Perk told me I need to watch more games, Legs, even though I watched as many games as he watched because I got to come out here and talk basketball with Stephen A. The concerns that I've always had with the Phoenix Suns is their injury history. Kevin Durant has had knee injury problems. Booker has had hamstring problems. Bradley Beal has had injury history. So my concerns were, can they play enough games together that when they get to the playoffs and it's a meaningful game, that they know each other well enough? That's always been my concern. They're a very offensive-heavy team. It's dependent on Legs, as you said. Are they going to leave enough skin on the floor defensively? Nurkic has been doing a great job on the glass. He had 31 rebounds last night, which set a Suns record. But the question is, can they stop people? We know they can get buckets. They got two guys that Beal is average 30 in a season, KD is average 30 in a season, and Book gives you 26, 27 on a nightly basis. So we know they have the offensive firepower, but at some point in time, Legs, you got to stop somebody. And especially in a nip-tuck ball game, you miss, but you can't stop somebody. That's when you get into trouble. So I've always had my concerns about the Suns, even though they've had we know what Kevin Durant is, MVP, a finals MVP, a historically great player. We know what Book is offensively, so is Bradley Beal. But I've had my concerns since they put this team together just for their injury history.
Listen, I've got some serious concerns about them for a couple reasons. One, you guys have both touched on it. But listen, can you three guys ever play together? Can you just get on the floor on the same night so we can really evaluate what it's going to look like? They've hardly played together, so there's always that caveat when you talk about the Suns. Well, man, you know, we need to see a larger sample size of what it looks like with those three players. I don't know if we're going to get it. I feel like as soon as one guy comes back from an injury, another guy gets tweaked or banged up and goes and sits, so we never really see him at full strength. So that's obviously one concern. That has to happen between now and the end of the season. Like, you need to see me. Give me a 15-game stretch where I see you guys every single night. They have a brutal schedule coming up over the next 2 weeks. You got Boston twice, you got Denver, you got Milwaukee, and you got the Cavaliers. That's five of your next seven games. Now, if we can get all three guys on the court, maybe it gives you a better idea how they stack up with these teams. We haven't seen it. But here's the actual bigger concern for me. There's no real flow to what they do offensively because they don't have a true point guard. They don't have a table setter, an organizer offensively. What they have are three great offensive players who sort of operate independently of each other. We roll with this guy for a few possessions, then we roll with this guy for a few possessions, and then the other guy for a few possessions. But when you watch teams with great flow and rhythm to their offense, and he ran into one last night with Oklahoma City, that has a clear identity every trip how they are going to play. It's going to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the middle of the floor, either iso wing or ball screen, and then they space out off of that, and they move it with great rhythm. So you look at every team in the league, really, there's an identity trip after trip. I don't necessarily see that with the Suns. I see a series of tough shots and a lot of tough shots that are made, and it reminds you of the greatness of these players. That is not going to be good enough against the competition level in the Western Conference. Look, they've got, 23, 24 games left, whatever it is, to change our minds. But right now, it sounds like we're all in agreement. We have high skepticism when it comes to the Phoenix Suns actually making a run through the Western Conference.
So, again, I asked the question somewhat rhetorically, but in all seriousness, I would like a quick answer on this. What do we make of a team when you have a superstar, because he is a superstar, that is Kevin Durant, and it's like, yo, I am who I am. This is what I do. Work around it. What do you do when It's something more that's required. When we think about the great ones that we've talked about, you know, it's easy to point to MJ. It's easy to point to Kobe. What about Isaiah Thomas? What about the kind of leader he was? What about the way he was able to hold Bad Boy Pistons accountable? There was a certain way you were going to do things because we after the chip. Now, you're going to be a part of this or you ain't going to be, you're going to be up out of here. What about that? I mean, we don't see that from a guy like Kevin Durant. Is that okay? Or is it a need that needs to be addressed in terms of digging something out of yourself that may not be something that you normally do in order to get to where you need to go?
Stephen A., I look at Kevin Durant's situation like a relationship. When you're getting into a relationship with a woman, you accept them as they are, not how you wish them to be. Accept Kevin Durant okay. as he is, not how you wish him to be.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and I would echo it for saying this, Stephen A., at this stage of Kevin Durant's career, you're not going to see a change in that regard. Kevin Durant's always carried himself like, I'm going to show up and play and do what I do, and that's going to be good enough because of this exceptional talent. Yeah, and maybe in this case it would require more. I just don't see, based on his personality and his track record and how he carries himself and the way he leads, which is by showing up and being productive every night at a really high level, that's how he does it. It might not be enough in this situation, but I don't think you can expect change at this point.
Because he told you, Stephen A., he says, the way I show up and work, the way I practice, the way I treat my teammates, that's leadership for him. That's the way he views it. Not saying anything about holding guys accountable, like, I need you to do this. That's not what he is. So I'm accepting how he is, not how I wish him to be.
Got it.
All right. Very good relationship advice, by the way, there, Shannon, for both men and women. I
expect
nothing less.
You better, come to your boy. If you want that relationship advice, come to your boy. Nightcap, I give it to
you.
We know you
got a few things on me. That ain't one of them. Nah.
We'll get together, have some of that cognac, and talk about it. Send me some of that cognac. That'll work.
Have some VSOP,
and let's enjoy tonight.
Hey, bye,
LaPortier. Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
All right, the Cowboys left tackle Tyron Smith is unlikely to return to Dallas for the Cowboys for their 14th season after their initial pay negotiations ended in stalemate. Jerry Jones, however, is still optimistic that the Cowboys can return to their winning ways with or without Smith.
When I look at our team, we need to be able to stop the run better and we need to be able to run the ball better. If that's culture, then we got a problem.
I don't feel a sense of entitlement or anything like that.
With players.
Yes, with players.
Tell me. Yeah. No, not at all.
That was Jerry Jones on Friday addressing the media. Dan Orlovsky is joining us now. Stephen A., I'm not sure what this face means. Does Dallas have a winning culture? I'll start with you.
Hell no. But before I go further, no, I'm going to listen to what Dan Orlovsky has to say first, because if something comes out of his mouth that I think is going to come out of his mouth, I'm going to lose it. Let me make sure I'm correct. Go ahead, Dan. Floor is yours.
To say the Cowboys don't have a winning culture is ridiculous, Stephen A. They absolutely have.
You're ridiculous for saying that.
You're utterly ridiculous.
Shocking that you two agree. They've won 12 games 3 years in a row, guys. They absolutely have a winning culture. They have a winning. They don't have a championship culture. No one's saying that.
What the hell is a winning culture? That's the point of winning. What are you talking about?
No, there's not.
Oh my God.
How many teams in the NFL have a championship culture? That it actually is result a handful? A handful? Realistically, a championship culture?
The Cowboys are not on that hand then.
But they've won 12 games 3 years in a row, guys. If they don't have a winning culture, it would be a losing culture.
What team do you know? Excuse me, Dan Orlovsky. What team do you know is accused of having a winning culture that don't have a championship attached to it? Who are these people that's talking about winning cultures when you don't have a championship?
What teams do you know?
About?
What teams do you know that win 12 games a year? So what is that? Plus 66% of the games a year and considered a losing culture. You tell me the organizations
all,
that do that.
Normally teams that win 12 games every year over a 3 year span at least get to the conference championship. At least get to the Super Bowl. They make it past the second round. When was the last time the Cowboys made it past the second round? And they won all them games with all those Pro Bowl players, with all those All-Pro players. What have the Cowboys done to convince you that they're winning? That's not winning. You've got to have something attached to that.
Shannon, I'm in the same page as you, or in the same boat as you, in regards to that they don't have like a true championship culture. And I know that Mike McCarthy stated that at the end of the year.
What is winning then, damn it?
But to sit here and say they're like, no, guys, let's be real.
I mean, sometimes I just wonder about you. You listen, when I slipped and busted my ass, I hurt my ankle. Clearly, you got knocked upside your damn head when you twisted your ankle. I mean, something's up. Something's really, really up. Yeah. But you're going to say this on national TV.
Between you and I, Excuse me.
You got a wonderful wife with four beautiful kids that cater to your cheap ass self. That's what that's about. You know, say, I don't have that problem. Okay. Here's the deal right now. Let me read this to you, Dan Orlovsky. The Cowboys, we know about the last Super Bowl win in 1995, right? Dan Orlovsky, do you know that since that time, 55 different teams among the four major North American pro sports leagues have won championships? 13 different teams in the NFL, 12 different teams in the NBA, 16 different teams in Major League Baseball, and 14 different teams in the National Hockey League. The Dallas Cowboys are not associated with having a winning culture because they don't win. They don't win when it counts.
They literally
Stop.
I'm not saying you cannot say. We can't say that the Cowboys don't have a winning culture, yet they are in the playoffs every single year.
They're not there every single year.
In a row. Stephen A., do the Pittsburgh Steelers have a winning culture?
No. And they've got six championships in their history.
Stephen A.,
let me give it to him like this. Dan Orlovsky, it's like you go shopping every day and you could return with nothing. That's not shopping. Shopping means you buy something. Winning culture means you win something.
Your analogy would be that you go shopping and you come back with some items, but you don't come back with the most expensive items.
You're not losers, but a winning culture comes associated with winning. I love me some Mike Tomlin. You know how I feel about him. But damn, you can't go the last 15 years or so without a Super Bowl championship. You can't be bounced out in the first without a playoff victory since 2016 and say that's a winning culture. No, you're not losing, but winning is actually winning
something. The Buffalo Bills don't have a winning culture.
Not really, no.
I don't.
No!
Dan, in football, you know, Dan, you're talking about the Cowboys. Listen, If you talk, if you're looking at the Cowboys and you base it on their history, what are the Cowboys? They win championships.
Right.
That's what winning culture is. It's about you win championships. They're winning all these games. Look at the Eagles. Okay, the Eagles can say, at least we went to the Super Bowl. The 49ers, we went to a Super Bowl. Now, granted,
the Super Bowl
is trying to win. But you guys haven't gone past the second round. And Stephen A., I take issue to something else Jerry Jones said. He talked about we got to run the ball better. Well, damn it, Mike McCarthy promised you he was going to run the ball better. He got rid of Kellen Moore because he said Kellen Moore wasn't running the ball enough.
And then
so he lied. And you bought it, Jerry Jones, so that's on you. Your culture stinks.
Hold on, Dan. Let me finish. I'm not finished. Because here's the deal, Dan. Here's the deal. San Francisco. Two Super Bowl appearances. That means two NFC championships.
Yes, sir.
That means two NFC championships. You want something? You can't just win a regular season. You don't do anything in the playoffs, and that's a winning culture. That is not a winning culture. You're not losing. You're not moribund. You're not cellar dwellers, but you're not winning. That's not a winning culture. No.
We're only able to talk it to the extremes. There is only you're the best. Or you're not, like the worst.
The Los Angeles Rams, won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. You want to tell me something? Like, they won something.
Okay, let me.
You
ask,
can't
let,
go. Let, you let can't go Shannon two this. Plus decades without winning and okay, say that's Shannon. A winning culture.
Let me ask Shannon.
Yes,
this. Shannon, I'm not even close to winning a Super Bowl. You won how many?
Three.
Okay. Were those the only teams, your three Super Bowl champions, were those the only teams that had winning cultures that you were a part of?
You know, that ended it. Yes. That's how it works. I was only two years with the Ravens. So, yes, we had a winning culture. So 50% of times we won the Super Bowl when I was with the Ravens. Yes. Yes, that's how it works, Dio. What the hell you think I stay up late at night for watching all that film, lifting all that weight, denying myself vacation, denying myself things? What you think I did that for? Just to win games?
No, to win a Super Bowl. One year you didn't win it in Baltimore, so you played in Baltimore for 2 years. You won the Super Bowl there for 1 year. The year you didn't, you guys didn't have a winning culture?
You do really winning culture means over a period of time, Dan. You talk about 1 year.
How you
talking about over
us?
A period of time.
But we can only go off of, like, Dallas in present day.
Dan, we got 30 years to go off of.
You brought up the Super Bowl.
30 years.
Dan, you brought up the Super Bowl. I didn't bring up the Super Bowl win. I talked about how San Francisco lost two Super Bowls. But they got two NFC championships. They went to the Super Bowl twice. That's a winning culture.
Your guys'
You can't be the Dallas Cowboys, and you've gone 29 years now without even so much as making an NFC championship game appearance and say that's a winning culture. That is just asinine.
No,
that don't make
not.
No sense.
It's asinine to sit here and say they don't have a winning culture when
they don't have a winning culture.
No, they don't. They have a culture of choking in the playoffs. They have a culture of not being able to be a champion.
So they have a winning culture and a culture of choking in the playoffs. That's what you're saying? They have a winning culture and a culture of choking in the playoffs? Did you just utter those words out of your mouth?
And losing big games. What about the big games they lose in the regular season?
I mean, they lost Week 18 a couple times.
If you ask your kids a question and they say, I mean, Dad, you're going to say, I didn't ask you what you mean. I asked you a simple question. What about the big games in that winning culture that they lose every single year?
Didn't they have a big game late this season against the Philadelphia Eagles? They won that in Dallas.
The San Francisco and Green Bay. How did they do against Green Bay? That winning culture.
They got waxed in the playoffs.
Who does that at home? Who gives up 48 at home and a team scored a touchdown on six of their first seven possessions? Who does that?
I'm not defending Dallas in the playoffs. I was the one person who said I would have blown the whole place up. I would have gotten rid of everybody. I would have started.
Why would you do that if it's a winning culture? Why would you do that if it's a winning culture? Why would you blow it up if it's a winning culture?
You don't blow up a winning culture?
Because I would want a championship.
Oh, you burned the lottery ticket? Who burned the lottery ticket? I got a winning culture. I got Dak. I got all these all-pro players. All-pro left tackle, all-pro left guard, all-pro right guard, all-pro receiver, all-pro quarterback, all-pro DB. You got
Let me ask you a question.
All-pros.
Let me ask you a question. All honesty here. When is St. Patrick's Day? Give me the date.
March 17th.
Stephen A.
What?
St. Patrick's Day. What's the date?
I don't know.
Thank you very much. Good job, Shannon. You know,
is this a cultural thing? Christine doesn't know what St. Patrick's Day is.
Thank you.
I'll find out when. I'll look it up.
The more important day in March is my birthday on March 24th.
It's literally a week after St. Patrick's Day.
Whatever. Okay. That's why I'm paying attention to my friend said. Thank you very much, Dan Orlovsky, for the history lesson.
That got to do with the price in China.
Thank you.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome back. It's time for a quick take. Dawn Staley and the South Carolina Gamecocks finished a perfect 29-0 for the regular season. Second straight season in a row. Stephen A., you're reacting.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we sit here and talk about Caitlin Clark and how phenomenal she is, and, you know, obviously Juju Watson at USC, I want to take a moment to let everybody know about this wonderful coach at South Carolina named Dawn Staley. Dawn Staley was in the national semifinal last year. They were 36-1 on the season. They are 29-0 now. That means their record over the last 2 years is 65-1. The year before that, they won the national title. She was 35-2. That means over the last 3 years, Dawn Staley is 103. 103. In the last 3 years, she's been in the Final Four with a national championship on her resume. We can talk about everybody else. We better keep talking about Dawn Staley. Wow, something special.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
The New York Knicks sealed a 107-98 win over the Cavs on Sunday, but it came with a cost. All-star guard Jalen Brunson had to be helped off the floor after a collision. He did not return to the bench and was not seen after the game. However, head coach Tom Thibs said that x-rays were negative. All right, so that's Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle, and OG Anunoby, along with Jalen Brunson. So I'm going to start with you on this, Legs. Is the Knicks season over?
No, it's not over. But look, time is ticking. You've got to get these guys back on the court. And, you know, I love their acquisitions as well. Four new players that they got this year at the training deadline. They have to get these guys on the court to establish rhythm and rotations. It's not over. Here's what's unfortunate about these injuries. They had a legit shot at the 2 seed. That's not going to happen now. Probably not even 3. They're better off being, honestly, 6 than 4 or 5, because then you would get the Boston Celtics potentially in the second round, and your season ends the way it did last year with a second round loss. They need to avoid Boston as long as they can. They had a shot at 2. That's not going to happen now.
Stephen A., we know in the black church, church is not out until you give the benediction. If Jalen Brunson is hurt for any significant amount of time and they're already without Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson, it's over.
You know, sometimes I don't like that damn Shay Shay. You know, sometimes I don't like him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you see the joy in his face when he's saying that. You see what I got to deal with? And this is all because of Goat James. It's all because I don't sit up there and shower praise on Goat James the way that he does. This is his way of getting me back, Tim Legler. It's all right, though. It's all right. You know, the fat lady hasn't sung yet, okay? The bottom line is if Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle, and Jalen Brunson come back, the New York Knicks will make some noise come this postseason, but they got to come back. They can't be hurt. Otherwise, you know, it's that black cat running around.
The only noise going to be made is Knicks fans crying. It's over, Stephen A.
You know, keep the shade. You know, keep the shade with LaPortier. Keep it. Don't even send it to me. Don't even send it to me. Don't even send it to me. I don't even want it now. I don't even want it. I'll drink my damn tea instead, okay? I'm done with you right now. Goodbye.
Bye, guys. And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.